a man who fears God and shuns evil. Now, Job prospered greatly. He had a great family. He was known as one of the greatest men in his area. And he was very rich. In all accounts, he was greatly prospered. Now, the devil took notice of that and came up with a plan. He thought that if he could take away Job's good fortunes, that Job would curse God and no longer be such a righteous, upstanding man. Now, God allowed the devil to do as he would with Job, ensuring only that he was going to spare Job's life. So, of course, the devil went out and took all of Job's, all of his money, all of his riches, his house, his family died, everyone except for his wife. And then afterwards, he even afflicted him with sores all over his body. And at this, Job was full of sorrow, and he even went as far to curse the day of his birth. But never once did he blame God for it. He questioned God many times, you know, why me, why this, what did I do? But he didn't blame God. He didn't sin and curse God over this. Now, Job had some friends that came over to visit him after hearing, all of what had happened to him. And these friends of Job's were arguing with him, trying to tell him that, you know, this is your fault, Job. What did you do that God would do this? And they kept insisting that it was his fault. And after many conversations, God finally reveals himself and speaks to the group from a storm. Now, God was angry with Job's friends because they weren't speaking the truth about him. And so he instructed them to repent. And he said that he would accept Job's prayers on their behalf, and he would spare them from the punishment of their folly. And afterwards, God restored Job's good fortunes, so much that he had twice what he had before. He had many more sons, and he had three more daughters who were known as the most beautiful daughters in the land at that time, or the most beautiful ladies in the land at that time, and God let him live out a nice long life after that. And I'm going to go ahead and change gears a little bit and jump to another story that you'll see that it's related eventually. Just bear with me a moment. And most of you probably know this story fairly well, or fairly good as well, and that's the story of Abram and Sarai. Now, when Abram was 75 years old, God called him to leave his land, the land that he'd lived in, and he said that he would make a great nation out of him, and he would give him lands for inheritance for his nation. And so Abram listened to God. He got up and he left, took his wife and his belongings, and they went out to the land of Canaan. And they waited there for 10 years, and still Abram had no sign of any sons or any offspring. And they began to grow a little bit impatient, and Sarai came up with an idea, because she believed that she was too old to bear children herself, so she came up with a plan that she would offer her handmaiden Hagar to Abram, and that she could have a surrogate child through Hagar. Now, Abram went along with this plan, and Hagar eventually bore him a son named Ishmael. And about 14 years after that, when Abram was 99, God came back to him, and he said, well, he did a couple of things. He gave Abraham a new name, or gave Abram a new name, Abraham, and Sarai to Sarah. And he told him that Sarah would bear him a son that he would name Isaac, and that through Isaac, he was going to keep his promise to make a great nation out of Abraham. And eventually, Isaac was born, and we know how that goes from there. Now, looking at both of those stories, we can see some examples where people exhibited patience, and we can see some examples where people were very impatient. Now we can see Job, who patiently endured many sorrows and great losses, but through that, through all of that, he refused to sin against God. And we can see impatience from Abram and Sarai, who thought that God was taking too long to fulfill his plan, and they needed to give him a little kickstart. And it's not hard to imagine how in their case, a little bit of extra patience could have helped out in both of these circumstances. So let's revisit Job for a second and think, what had happened if there was some more patience exhibited in that story there? One of the first mentions we have of Job's wife is in Job, the second chapter in verse 9, where Job is sitting in the ashes of his ruined, burnt-down house, and he's scraping the sores off of his body with some broken pottery. So he's already gotten the brunt of the of his losses at this point. And his wife says to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." Now, I don't know firsthand, but I would imagine that that's got to be pretty demoralizing to hear from your wife. And even after that, his friends were sitting with him. They sat with him for 7 days in silence, knowing the trouble he was going through. But after that, they went immediately to trying to convince Job that this was his fault, and that he needed to, you know, he should curse God and die. And so the impatience of Job's wife and friends had a very real and very negative effect on Job, to the point where he cursed his own birth and prayed for death from God. Now, jumping back over to Abram and Sarai, we can think how a little bit of more patience could have helped them out. First of all, they wouldn't have had Ishmael, who caused some problems between Sarai and Hagar. After Ishmael was born, Sarai got jealous of Hagar, and there was some dissension there to the point where Hagar even ran away until the Lord called her back so that Ishmael could be born into Abram's house. Now, we don't know a lot about Ishmael's life, or at least it's not a lot is said in the Bible about Ishmael's life. But we do know that the angel of the Lord said to Hagar that he will be a wild man, and that his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against his. And so his life was filled with obviously some dissension there. And we know that at the age of 14, Ishmael's half-brother Isaac was born. And shortly after that, Sarai demanded that Hagar and Ishmael be sent away, demanded from Abraham that he send away Hagar and Ishmael, and that Ishmael wouldn't have any part of Isaac's inheritance. And that very dispute over that inheritance is persisting even to this day, causing many wars. As I'm sure we all know, that's a very regrettable situation. Now, those are some good examples from the Bible where people could have had a little bit more patience, and where people exhibited some patience. But those are pretty old, and we don't face those circumstances today. So patience isn't very important for us, right? Well, we know that's wrong. Patience is an important virtue regardless of when you live. In fact, it's so important that Solomon claims in Proverbs, in verse 16:32, that it's even more important than strength, and that controlling your temper is more important than conquering cities. Which Solomon, living in, you know, an age of conquering cities, that's a pretty big thing. And in Galatians 5, patience is even listed among the fruits of the Spirit. So we know it's something important for us today, but how can we practice that patience? How does it affect our daily lives? There's a classic example of someone cuts you off on the freeway. Now, you've got a couple choices here. You can get mad at them. You can start yelling at them, shouting, you know, in your car. You can try and, you know, cut them off, speed up, and get back in front of that person to get your spot back. Or have a little bit of patience, slow down a little bit, let him get in front of you, and just, you know, be calm about it and have some patience. And chances are, you know, that person cutting in front of you isn't even going to make a perceivable difference in how long it takes you to get wherever you're going. And so that's just one example, but there's plenty of examples in our day where people need to practice patience, such as we see the politicians that run our country, and they make, you know, we can see what, you know, when they make mistakes that, you know, to us might seem obvious, but, you know, we see the same mistakes made again and again, and it can be hard to be patient through that and not to get mad and riled up. Or you know, when you graduate college and you have to start applying for jobs, I know many of our young adults know that can take a lot of patience. That does not just kind of instantly happen there. And what about retail workers that might have a rude customer who comes in, who is shouting and demanding that they be heard, even though they could be completely wrong about what they're shouting about. Or what about when you buy that new cool piece of technology you've been waiting for and it doesn't work and you have to call tech support and wait for 2 hours to even talk to the right person? That's quite an exercise in patience. Just like the earlier examples of Job and Abram, patience in these examples not only affects you, it's, you know, it greatly affects you, your attitude, your outlook on life, but it also affects the people around you. You know, when they see you either, you know, being patient and enduring through, or when they see you, you know, losing your temper and getting all riled up, you know, it affects the people around you. Now, I'd like to go to James, the fifth chapter, real quick, to see what is said about patience there in verses 7 through 11. He says, I'll give you a moment to turn there. He says, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door." Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance, and you have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Now, it's pretty clear in this passage and many others throughout the Bible that we need to exhibit more patience. But how can we learn to be more patient? What if I'm an impatient person? Well, some people would suggest that repetition of a boring task over and over will breed patience, such as I saw one example where they said to take a big handful of coins and throw them on the ground, and then one by one, take the coins, slowly come back and stack them up somewhere, and do that every day with an increasing amount of coins. And now, that's one way to get patience, but that's boring and probably not the most efficient way to go about it. Now, what I would suggest, a method that's more likely to help, is going to have to start out with prayer. That's in, you know, with any way of self-improvement, that's you need to start off with prayer. And now, I know a lot of people in the church will say, don't pray for patience, or the Lord's going to add some extra trials into your life. But, you know, that might be so, but it, you know, we know that it's not going to be more than you can handle, and we know the best way to learn patience is practice. Now, you can't just praying for it, you know, on its own isn't going to be enough. You know, you can't sit down, pray for it, you know, three nights in a row, and then the next morning you wake up and boom, you're patient. That's not quite how it works. It also takes constant and intentional practice of patience. You have to, you know, when you notice that your patience is starting to run low, you know, go back to for more prayer, pray for strength to keep being patient. You have to every day constantly be thinking about, can I be patient, you know, how can I be more patient today than I was yesterday? Now, finally, I would like to leave you with one more example to think on. That's Jesus. His patience was constantly tried throughout his time on the earth. He repeatedly was trying to, you know, teach his apostles things and his disciples, and it seems like every other chapter they forgot who Jesus even was. And that's got to be pretty trying on your patience, I would think. And even the people that Jesus came to this earth to save were trying to kill him at every turn. Now that's got to be really trying on your patience, and so when you start getting frustrated and you're waiting on something that's just not happening, or you know, God's not fitting within your time scale, what you had planned out, take a moment and think of the frustrations that Jesus dealt with and how much more he had. And look at his examples of how he prays to the Lord, and I suggest that you pray to the Lord as well to give you the strength to show and exhibit that level of patience that you would need. Now, if anyone needs to come forward to speak with any of our leaders or ask for prayers, you may do so now as we stand and sing the song.